Welcome back to Insta-Death Survivor Support Group. I'm Brian Hazard, and I'm playing Steam Highwayman, an open-world gamebook series by Martin Nauch. I'm an orphan fighting to survive in the reeking metropolis, and I've just been released from custody in Southwark after an ill-fated attempt at securing work with the bus cooperative in Camden. Let's continue.
Southwark is one huge market. Goods brought in from the south are sold on here at Burrow and Hayes Markets. Every second passerby trundles a steam lift or carries a sack. Children dash backwards and forwards with freight tickets in their hands, or leap to hook them onto bundles and crates being craned onto the overhead rails that run along the streets. Even the old church of St. Saviour's has been topped with a telegraph guild station. Still, if you look, you can find vestiges of the old city. Down a side street stands the George. Its galleried courtyard is filled with horses and wagons and the velostemes of dispatch riders. Okay, so I can buy and sell stuff here, but I have zero money and I have a mask. I don't suppose I could sell a mask. I'm not seeing a mask as one of the options to sell. Nope. So I could visit the George Inn, head to St. Saviour's Church, or board a barge. Should I check out the George Inn? I mean, I don't have any money, but why not? 674. A steam engine and its wagons stand in the yard of the George while its crew take on provisions for their journey. Several mechanics and hauliers mill around drinking while they tinker with machinery. You dismount and brush the dust from your clothes. I need to note the passage. 674. So let's do that. 674. Yep. Okay. Before choosing an option. All right. So do I buy a drink? No, because I had $0. Shillings. Mend my velosteam or return to Southwark. I guess I return to Southwark. 631. Yeah. Do I board a barge? I mean, I guess I'll just leave this area. 695. All right, so the streets spread out from the Southwark like the strands of a great web. College Guild engines head southeast along the road to Deptford Bridge, while others wait for the hourly change of direction on London Bridge. Okay, so I'm going to look at the map here to see. So I'm heading, I'm going to head where? Here's Lambeth. Could go to the London Bridge, the Blackfriars Bridge, Bermondsey. I might as well stay south of the Thames, I think. Check that out. So do I want to go to Lambeth or Bermondsey? I'm going to go to Bermondsey. Yeah, let's go to Bermondsey. 668. So I hop on my velosteed and go to 668. The laws of the metropolis have outlawed all the noisome and foul industries to the edges of the city. And so Bermondsey, along with housing its countless inhabitants in terraces of particular squalor and filth, is home to a dozen great tanneries, each responsible for a cloud of awful stench. Incredibly, it is also a center of food canning and home to a massive complex of biscuit manufacturing. Yet, despite all these employers, work is intermittent and unstable. The people poor and desperate. A few brave souls have set up their missions here. But even these struggle. I think I want to explore the streets of Bermondsey because I'm a sightseer. So, 663. You come across a starving beggar and pass him a morsel of food. What a kind man I am. There used to be some nuns. What would bring us food of an evening, says an old beggar, but not recent. What happened to them? He shrugs. Asking around, you're directed to the house used by the Sisters of St. Catherine. Nobody answers your knock, but you climb the gate and peer in through the back window. A horrible sight meets your eyes. The emaciated body of a woman lies on the floor, entering through the rickety door and keeping a cloth clamped over your face. You explore the house and find four more sisters, all dead, plainly after considerable suffering. What dreadful disease did they catch? Typhoid fever? Cholera? There are any number of such things born on the fogs and miasmas of the district. You back out quickly. and gain the code word charity. All right, so I've gained the code word charity, and then I'm going to return to the streets of Bermondsey, 668. All right, and then from here, Thames Tunnel, that could be interesting. So Thames Tunnel is over here. Let's see what happens if I go to the Thames Tunnel, 656. You're at the southern mouth of the Thames Tunnel. Behind the gate, the black mall gapes like a hungry monster. The keepers raise the barrier for each road train that trundles through, as if saluting those about to embark on a journey to the underworld. After, of course, charging a hefty toll on each. Dang it, I don't have the money for that. All right, I'm heading to Rotherhithe. I don't know. I am not from England, and I don't know the names of these towns. Whoops. 649. Rotherhithe Street runs between the river and a vast acreage of docks and pools. Along it, like dirty knots on a cable, are strung chandleries, forges, wharves, sawmills, a short terrace here and there, dry docks and slips, accessed only from the river or at either end over swing bridges. Rotherhithe is almost a nautical village, cut off from the rest of London. At the western side of the docks, the Thames Tunnel has been dug all the way under the river itself. Passage through it is but a few shillings, and a huge transshipment yard has been built beside the entrance, over the rubble of countless demolished dwellings. Progress goes on. I'm going to check out the telegraph station. So, 692. The telegraph station stands behind in high fences. Its four towers clatter incessantly, carrying the coded messages of 1,000 businesses. I do not have this package. Why would I want to put the station out of action? Interesting. That's an interesting choice to have. I don't see the benefit of it, but I like exploring strange places. Now, I'm going to leave the telegraph station, 649. I think I need to find a job. Let's check out Deptford, 816. You are in Deptford. A gaunt brick pub stands with its back to the filthy creek. The faded sign swings creakily, displaying two unicorns and an indistinct shield. Several lighters are drawn up at the wharf, where the listless docksmen dally over their tasks. Most of the local streets are formed of low and dirty cottages, but Creek Street has been recently rebuilt, and slender plane trees stand in rows, their bark still smooth and untouched by the pollution and smog. Behind a spike-topped wall stand the naval barracks. I guess I'll check out the unicorns. 872. The unicorns is a ramshackle leaning old place, nonetheless rammed to the metaphorical gunwales, whenever the mariners are given leave from the nearby barracks. The Deptford moorings are at the base of the Imperial Nathundical Court, as well as a staging post for convoys, so the landlord can be sure of a steady trade, although his breakages bill must be considerable. I can't buy a drink. Can't chat with the sailors because I don't have 4 shillings. I'm going to head into the yard, 900. The yard sports a dusty, much beaten down ring where bare knuckle boxers vie for glory and guineas. A fight is about to start, and there's always a little room for a newcomer. I'm getting in on a fight. I'm hoping that there's prize money, though I'm not very ruthless. So I'm probably just going to get my butt handed to me. Let's find out. 892. All right. If the boxes above are empty, tick the first and turn to 1404 immediately. Okay. 1404. So you could see the fact that there's even 1400 of these. Shows you just how big of a project this is. There's a lot to explore in every single book, and this is just one of the books so far, and not even anywhere near all of the book. And there are 2 other books already to explore. Your opponent is a massive, broad-shouldered sailor with clubbed hair and a repeatedly broken nose. To knock him down, you must first fight him unarmed, using your fists with a parry of 0, relying on your nimbleness and toughness. Lovely. Okay, so he has parry of 8, a nimbleness of 8, and a toughness of 5. This is a sailor. So now we need to look at the combat rules to make sure we do it right. Fighting enemies. So it proceeds in rounds, and in each, you have an opportunity to wound your enemy or opponent before they have a chance to hurt you. When the number of wounds you have inflicted is equal to your opponent's toughness, or when you have 5 wounds, the fight is over. So to calculate whether you wound your enemy, roll 2 dice and add the score to your nimbleness together with any modifiers. If it's greater than your opponent's parry, you succeed in wounding them. The number of wounds is equal to your opponent's toughness, and they have a toughness of 5. So they need 5 wounds. Okay, so I'm going to roll against their parry with my nimbleness. My nimbleness is 4. Their toughness is 5, and their parry is 8. Okay, so if their parry is 8 and my nimbleness is 4, I need to roll at least a 5 in order to wound them. All right, so I get a 9, so I do wound them, I believe. So let's see. You do succeed in wounding them. So I've wounded them once. So I now have 1, 2, 3, 4 more that I need to wound them. All right, so now your opponent then has the same chance. The roll of 2 dice is added to their nimbleness, and if it's greater than your parry, then you gain a wound. Wait, your parry score is the total of your nimbleness plus the parry value of your weapon, which I don't have any. So what we're going to do is we're going to roll, and wait, they're always going to hit because they have a nimbleness of 8. And my parry score is only 4. So they hit me, I take a wound. So we have 1. Bumatown. I think that what this means is I have to hit them every time, or I'm gonna die, or at least get defeated. Interesting. Okay. So now I'm going to roll, and I get a 9. So I definitely beat them. I don't even need to add my nimbleness. And so they take a wound. And then they roll against me. They always hit me. So I take a wound. So, of course, boom. And then I roll 5. So I do hit them. So they take another wound. And then they hit me, of course. So I take a wound. And then I roll 5. So I hit them and they take a wound. And I take a wound. And of course, as long as I hit them this time, I'll just be at 4 wounds. So I roll. We hit them. Yes, I hit them. So they have been defeated. All right. So victory. 11-9. The fight begins with a cautious circling to and fro as the sailor looks for entry. Then he steps forward and throws a surprising left jab at you, only just giving you enough warning to move your head. His brawny fist grazes the side of your head as he follows with a right uppercut on the step. But that's enough to get an idea of this man's size and speed. He relies on his reach, his power, and his very short bursts of energy. He has little idea of protecting himself. And as long as you keep away from those massive heavy hands, you're able to land blow after blow into his side. Misjudging for a moment, you catch his right hook with your temple. Spin with the blow, and only just stay upright. The crowd around you cheer appreciatively. Bets are still being made as you continue through 8, 9, 10 rounds. Both panting, moving much slower now. It is as much a competition of stamina as power. You have landed far more blows, but his are heavier, and another to the head will cause you some serious damage. Then the sailor blinks for a moment. As sweat obscures his vision, and you step inside his reach and break your knuckles open on his upper lip. Mingled blood pours over his chin. He steps back to swing, but you follow him with a heavy left to the gut, followed directly by your right, leaning into the blow with all your weight. He staggers and falls backwards, groans, and lies still. The match is yours, and with it, the prize purse of 5 guineas. 5 pounds, 5 shillings. Excellent. I really needed some money. So this is welcome news. All right, so then we turn to 872. It ain't a bunch of money, but it is some money. So I think we're going to be back at the unicorns. Now, the question is, do I immediately blow my money buying a drink? I feel like I need a drink. I mean, I'm all bruised and battered.
Yeah.
Here's a question, because I legitimately have no idea. Let's see. What is £5, 5 shillings minus 6 shillings? What? I don't even know. Okay. So £5, 5 shillings minus 6 shillings equals £4 and 19 shillings. What is this weird? I'm sorry, English folk. The metric system makes sense, but I don't know what nonsense your money system is based on. Anyway, let's do what? I want to do both buy a drink and chat with the sailors. The first thing I'm going to do is buy a drink, 8:51. I'm kind of hoping that this like hits me with a wound or something, but we'll see. All right. So the barman draws a short pint of his dolphin tail porter into a freshly wiped pewter pot and slides it over the bar towards you. The first sip is sweet and rich. It's an old-fashioned flavor brewed to keep the fog out of your bones. Almost savory, with hints of licorice, rum, raisin, and chocolate. If you have a black eye, which I don't, otherwise note passage 872. I'm going to note my passage, too, and roll a die to see what you hear among the drinkers. So I get a 5, and that's false papers, 1159. All right, you overhear two women talking about obtaining false papers. I can't emigrate with my record, see? Says one. But that old bird at St. Margaret's Court is doing me up a whole new certificate. When you find yourself in St. Margaret's Court, note the passage number and double it to find the forger, who obviously keeps as low a profile as possible. All right, so this is something I need to write down in notes. So I'm going to come back to here and do a quick note, which is just going to be, just write notes. Okay. When in St. Margaret's Court, double the passage number to find a forger who can make false papers. All right. So that's cool. So now I know that I've found like a little secret, which is nice. Cool. So now I'm going to go back to the noted passage, which was 872. And I'm going to chat with these sailors here. So I've already spent the shillings to do so. So 890. Let's see what else we can learn here. Okay. The box above is empty. Ticket and read on. All right. You get talking to a sailor in a blue peacoat and knitted cap. He claims to be a member of the Imperial Nethundical Corps, the famed and fearless sailors who man the Navy's underwater steam attack ships. But he has none of their discipline or hauteur. Just married yesterday and recalled today. He blubs over his liquor. I was told I had 2 weeks leave, so I can either be like, "Nah, that's life, bucko," or I can say, "Well, maybe I could talk to your sergeant for you." I do have gallantry. I have a feeling that I'm going to get myself in trouble here, but I do have gallantry. Let's try it. 9:26. Maybe I can convince your sergeant. 9:26. All right. Sergeant Jakes ain't easily persuaded, matey, replies the sailor. Nonetheless, he describes the man he should be reporting to. And a few hours later, you see Jakes with a couple of armed Marines entering the pub, seeking late returners and defaulters. How will you proceed? Well, I can't bribe him. I don't have enough money for that. And I don't have a bottle of whiskey. I'm not ruthless enough to intimidate him. So unfortunately, I think I need to forget about it. All right. So I think we've done what we can here. And now I think our next step is to leave the unicorns. 8:16. And here I am in Deptford. So I think that's a good pausing point. We're down in Deptford, way down to the south, and we now know that if we come upon St. Margaret's Court, we can find someone who can make us fake papers. Don't know what we need fake papers for, but we know that we've got a little bit of money to our name because we want to fight. Not only that, but we know that we can get money from a fight. So that's another way to earn some cash. So we have a way to earn money now. Although it's, you know, kind of a desperate way to earn money. We have a way to earn money, and we have a little rumor to go off of.
between being jailed and getting into a brawl in a shady bar fight club, the streets are toughening up my orphan come steam highwayman. So stay tuned to find out what happens next in this adventure. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to support the show, become a patron at patreon.com/instadeath. A special thanks to our guests and to the contributors who helped make the show better than I ever could on my own. Intro music graciously provided by Jesse Johnson, aka Zenoda. Find more great music by searching Jesse Johnson or Zenoda, spelled with an X, on YouTube and most major streaming platforms. Podcast cover art generously contributed by Patrick O'Neill. You can learn more about Pat's art on his Facebook page, Pat O'Neill Art.